Let's dive into the word. Grab your Bibles and turn to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the 12th chapter, and we're going to look at verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 5. And then we're going to ask you if you could stand with us, and let us see, can we stand on one accord? In Jeremiah 12, verse 5. Now, if you have a physical impairment, we don't want you risking anything, so you don't have to stand. But the Lord has blessed you that you do not have those physical challenges. Let us stand on one accord. Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 5. Jeremiah 12 and verse 5. And the Bible reads, and I'm going to read in your hearing. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of the Jordan? Today's message is entitled Footmen and Horses. Footmen and Horses. Let us pray. The Holy Father, at this very moment, we are standing in the need of prayer. Not my mother, not my brother, not my sister, not my father, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. O Lord, you know our condition. You know our situation. You know what we're dealing with and what we're going through. So we ask that you will speak to us at the point of our need, because we know you supply all needs. O Lord, speak to our hearts. Show us your great power and your great salvation. We pray, dear Father, that through this message, that we would draw even nearer to you, as we sung earlier today. Grant us knowledge, grant us wisdom, and in all of our getting, may we get understanding. For these things we ask for in a name which has been exalted above every name, the name of Jesus, who is the Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Footmen and horses. Footmen and horses. Let me ask you something. Have you ever felt that you have been overlooked? On your job, you work hard. You are a loyal employee. The company or organization has benefited by you being there, not only because you do what you're told, but also because you're committed to the success of the team. But the other person, who knows how to smooth, back channel, back slap, and all the rest of that, gets the raises, the promotion, and the applause. Have you had those experiences before? I mean, one job I had, I worked in a warehouse many years ago, and there was one guy who just had a sixth sense. He just knew when the supervisor or manager was going to come on the floor. Because outside of that, he wasn't doing nothing. Then all of a sudden, he would grab a broom and he'll be sweeping and pulling stuff and things, you know, pulling things that's, you know, too heavy for him to lift. But he's sweating and all. Then we always know, okay, somebody about to come on the floor. And then they come out, and they would call him by his name. He had a one-syllable name, and they would call him by and say, man, he's a hard worker. Man, I wish we had four or five more of him. And he's only working when he sees you show up. We've been working the whole time. But have you felt overlooked? Have you ever felt that way in the church? You know, that you've been faithfully giving, faithfully for years, 10% tithe and multiple percents in offerings. You give your time, your energy, and what have you. But then on that Sabbath, when this person finally does something, they finally give a large donation or something, then all of a sudden the church applauds this individual who have finally done something when you've been doing it the whole time. How you've been taking care of the building, keeping the place clean, straightening up things, making sure that the church is prepared for everyone before they walk in the building. And then this person, when you go on vacation, finally pulls out a vacuum cleaner. Finally mop a floor. And they make a big to-do about it. Then they get up in church on Sabbath and give the person a plaque while you're still sitting there. Have you ever felt that way? Felt just overlooked? Well, I'm going to go a little further. Have you ever felt that people who are doing you wrong are being benefited and promoted? People who are trying to stop and block your progress, undermine you, tear down your name? Have you ever felt that way? If you can't say amen, at least grunt. Okay, you may want to be very, you know, you may want to be quiet because a person may be sitting next to you. I don't know. I'm just visiting. You understand? Well, Jeremiah knew what you were going through. In the 12th chapter of Jeremiah, let me just try to go back through this 12th chapter if you could spend a little time there with me. If you could spend a little time there with me in Jeremiah chapter 12. Beginning at verse 1, Jeremiah tries to initiate a conversation with God. And he says to God, "Righteous are you, O Lord, when I plead with you. Yet let me talk with you about your judgments." Let's make sure we understand what Jeremiah is talking about. Jeremiah acknowledging that God is God, and beside him, there are no others. Jeremiah acknowledging who God is, and he acknowledged that God is righteous. God is just. God does not make mistakes. God knows what he's doing. But I'm trying to reconcile that with some other concerns that I have, God. Lord, you are righteous. You are holy when I plead with you. But, oh, Lord, I just need to talk to you about something. And let me tell you what I want to talk about. I want to talk about your judgment. In other words, Lord, I want to talk to you about some of these decisions you've been making. I need to have a conversation with you about how you've been making some judgments, how you've been judging things, how you've been deciding on things. Because I'm not seeing it the way that you see it. So Jeremiah goes on to say, "Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why does it seem that things work out for bad people? Why are those happy who deal so treacherously? You have planted them. Yes, they have taken root. They grow. Yes, they bear fruit. You are near in their mouth, but far from their mind." They go around talking about how my favorite Bible verse is 2 Corinthians. You are near in their mouths, but it's obvious from their behavior that you are far from their mind. "But you, O Lord, you know me. You have seen me, and you have tested my heart toward you. Lord, you know I'm not what I ought to be, but, O Lord, you know that I'm not what I used to be. You know that I'm sincere. You know that I'm trying. You know that I have been consistently placing my hand in your hand. Oh, Lord, you know that I've been faithful in my giving. You know I've been faithful to my family. You know I've been faithful to my church. Oh, Lord, you know I've been praying. You know I love you and I serve you." So you say, "Lord, I'm tell you what. I have some suggestions for you. Why don't you try these suggestions on for size? Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter and prepare them for the day of slaughter. Oh, Lord, let me reason with you. How long will the land mourn and the herbs of every field wither? The beasts and the birds are consumed for the wickedness of those who dwell there, because they said, 'He will not see our final end.'" In verses 1 through 4, Jeremiah expresses his frustration with the appearance that he is being persecuted by the wicked while the wicked are prospering. God replies to Jeremiah and lets him know that the wicked will ultimately get the results or recompense of their deeds. But before the deliverance of the righteous, greater trial will come. In verse 5, God begins his reply to Jeremiah by giving him a parable. It says, God says to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, I've heard what your concerns. And I want to tell you, my Christian friends at Berean, God will hear your concerns. You can carry anything to God. You can talk to God about anything. It will not break him. God will not go into depression. He will not need a therapist. You can just lay it down and have real talk with him like Jeremiah did. God will be all right. Amen? He can handle it. Ellen White said that Jesus is not perplexed by our perplexities. You can lay all the weights on him. That's where the weights need to be, can't you say amen? And so God replies to him. His reply begins in verse 5, and he says, if thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they weary thee, then how would thou do in the swelling of the Jordan? He had to say to him, if you think that the footmen are harsh in their treatment of you, the horsemen will be worse. Jeremiah, whatever you are lamenting about today, there'll be more to lament about in the future. Jeremiah, it's been bad, but it's going to get worse. Jeremiah, however hard times are now, harder times are coming. Now, I'm going to go ahead and give you my thesis statement. Just tell you what's going down today, okay? So you know up front, and you'll be able to figure out if you want to tune out or not. If you want to hang in here with us and get your blessing. I'm going to give you up front and tell you what I'm dealing with. So what I like to communicate today with the saints of Berean is, if we learn to pray and persevere in the smaller trials, that experience will help to prepare us for the more challenging. That's the sermon for today. That's what we're going to talk about today. If we learn how to pray and persevere in the smaller trials, that's the footman, that's what you're dealing with right now, the stuff you're going through now. Learn how to pray and persevere through these trials. That experience will help to prepare us for when the horsemen come, when the tough ones come. Now, I need to level with you and deal with some serious business right quick before we get into the sermon. I haven't got to the sermon yet. I'm just, you know, we're just getting to know each other right now. We get the sermon later. Amen. There are some people here at Berean, even, who have deceived themselves into believing that they are prepared now for the time of trouble. And that they will be able to resist the splendid bribe when the powers that be urge the mark of the beast upon the citizens of humanity and risk the loss of possession and life, even though many of these same people fail to risk little now for the kingdom of God. You didn't know I was going there, did you? Don't worry, I'm just getting started. My Christian friends, many of us have deceived ourselves, and we deceive ourselves through our knowledge. We have a certain knowledge, and we know, okay, when they pronounce the blue law, then all of a sudden, then I'm going to just fall in place. It doesn't work that way. That'd be like somebody sitting around on a couch eating Little Debbie's morning, day, and night. And they're doing that to prepare themselves because they know that an imminent Olympics are coming. And all of a sudden, when the Olympics come, when they shoot that gun, now I'm going to be able to run that 40-yard dash. Now I'm going to be able to lift those 300 pounds over my head. Now I'm going to be able to do the triathlon. It's the same. I can't get nobody to help me this morning. Expertise comes from learning, teaching, and successful practice. What you have perfected is what you're expert. Don't prepare yourself to be an expert in failure. but rather experts in victory. The Bible says in Matthew 24, beginning at verse 21, Matthew 24, verses 21 to 25. You read this before. It says, "For then there will be a great tribulation, such as not been seen since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Christ,' or 'There,' do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. So I have told you beforehand." The Bible lets us know that those who are the strongest and most successful in their relationship with Jesus will not be able to make it through the time of trouble, except that Jesus said he had shortened it. Because he know we can't deal with it if it's prolonged. And then he would say, then he said, if it was possible, it would deceive the very elect. The only reason that's not possible, because the Holy Spirit would have sealed them. It's not because we're so smart and we know so much. No, it's because of God. And the Bible lets us know it's going to be so difficult, so rough, and so tough that there's no historical time that's in equivalence. The Bible says in Daniel 12 and verse 1, the Bible says, "At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book." Oh, my Christian friends, there's some tough times are coming, and we need to be prepared before the tough times come. We are able to learn from the footman, my friend, and the horseman, that hard times are here, but harder times are coming. But I want to encourage you not to despise the footman. Don't despise them. Don't think bad of them. Don't despise the footman. Don't sit around hating that you had to deal with the footman. Unknowingly to the footman, God is using the footmen to prepare us for something. Now, I'm just letting you know this. I'm getting ready to transition now into the sermon, okay? Okay, so we're going to start preaching in a few seconds, amen. But we just had to, you know, just talk a little bit along the way to get to know each other as we get ready to get into this thing. So today, my friends, we're going to look at three things that the footmen are preparing us for. And then God gonna give us a blessing. The first thing, my Christian friend, the footman prepares us to encourage others. The things that the footman carries us through, and the things we have to deal with them with, gives us opportunities to encourage someone else when they're dealing with footmen. The footman provides you and me an experience that allows you to encourage others with your story. It's very important, my Christian friends. It's nothing like experience. It's a blessing when I can tell you I've read. That's a blessing to you. But it's even a greater blessing when I can tell you that I've tried them. That I know. That this from whence I come. And this is what he did. It's even a greater blessing. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4. The Bible says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation." Thank God for that, amen? "That we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Oh, my Christian friends, I'm so thankful that the experiences I've had will help me to encourage somebody else. Your victorious testimony, it's very important we get this. Your victorious testimony is the strongest encouragement that you could give to those who are contending with the footmen. So the first thing the footman prepares of the footman prepares us to encourage someone else when they're dealing with the footman. See, we found out a few things, my friend, while victoriously contending with the footman. We learned some things. We find out some stuff when we victoriously contend with footmen. That's one reason we show double and even triple respect to older people, because they have an experience. I can't get no witnesses in this house. They have an experience. I mean, we're talking about victorious experience. They're talking about the experience, you know, somebody boasts about, yeah, man, you know, I beat that rap. I've been out of that jail for 30 years, but I got out of there. And I'm talking about those experiences. I'm talking about the victorious experience that they have gone through, they have gone under, they have had to climb their way over, and they're still here, and they made it. That's why we need to hear those stories, my friend. Now, I know they don't walk as fast as we do, they don't talk as fast as we do, but you need to take time and hear those stories, because you will receive. Am I telling the truth to somebody yet? Now, that's not in the message today. That's just a little extra I gave you. You got a little interest there. Amen. But my friends, we find out a few things. We found out some stuff while we continue with footmen. I'm telling you a few things I found out. I found out that it's God's job to win and my job to run. I'm going to try to encourage somebody right now. It is my job to contend with the footman, but it's God's job to win the victory. That's not my job. I'm only called to run. I only have to stay in the race. I only have to remain faithful, and God will give the victory. God will win the race. God will carry me across the finish line. That is not my responsibility. My responsibility is to hold on to God's hand with my sickness. It is God's job to heal my sickness. It's my responsibility to be faithful in my poverty, but it's God's job to give me the victory over poverty. Are you with me yet? I found out that if you don't give in, if you don't give up, that as sure as I'm standing here today, that he'll bring you out without a doubt. Am I right about it? The Bible says in Matthew 24 and verse 13, it says, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. I found out that this is an endurance race. I've also found out that God would not put me in a race that I cannot win. Are you glad about it? Whatever you're dealing with and contending with the footman, God would not allow you to go in it if he cannot give you an opportunity to win it. Let me just give you some scripture here in 1 Corinthians 10:13. I'm still dealing with the experience we gained to encourage somebody else, but just talking about a few things I found out. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, the Bible says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Amen. The Bible says no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. Oh, my Christian friends, I want somebody to understand right now. I have found out that what you're dealing with and what you're going through is the same thing that everybody has to deal with and everybody has to go through. Are you listening to me? I have found out, my Christian friends, that you are not the only person in Berean who's been lied on. Somebody know what I'm talking about. Because you think about, well, they've been lying on me. They've been talking about me. You're not the only one who's been lied on and been talked about. Oh, you don't believe me yet. I'm going to do a poll. Anybody in this church ever been lied on? Okay, well, no, this little, okay, maybe I was incorrect. Only 3 people been lied on. Anybody here ever been lied on? Anybody in this building ever been talked about? Your name been mud, been dragged in the mud. Well, I'm going to go a little further than that. Because I know where you are. You say, yeah, okay, then I accept that people been lied on, but you don't know what I've been through. People in the church have lied on me. Let me ask, have you ever been lied on by people in the church? Some people do like that. I don't know. Woo! Let me tell you something, my friends.
Let me tell you something. The Bible says that what you're dealing with and what you're going through is common. You are not the first person to get a letter in the mail that had red print on it. Now, I know I'm here in Berea now, and this is a dignified church. And some of y'all don't know what red print is associated with in official mail. I'm not from Berean, so I understand what it means. Usually, commonly, when you receive a letter in the mail and they have a few sentences in red print, it's normally saying something like this, that you have 48 hours. Have I found a witness yet? You have 48 hours to pay this bill, or something's getting turned off, or somebody's getting escorted out. Let me tell you, you're not the first person to get one of those letters. It is common to man. You're not the first person to have aches and pains. Don't you know everybody at some time would deal with aches and pains? I know you think you're the only one who have hard-headed children. Now, if y'all not going to testify, I'm going back to the house. You think you're the only one that's been disappointed. I'm here to tell you this is common. Your trials are normal. The footman has no respect of a person. They were trying to take advantage of you the same way they were trying to take advantage of me. They're trying to stop and block my progress the same way they're trying to stop and block your progress. They're trying to cause you to give up the same way they're trying to cause me to give up. What you're dealing with is normal. It is common to man. But I'm so glad about it. The Bible says, but God is faithful. So whatever you're dealing with, I want you to understand we serve a faithful God. And I want somebody to know that our God is faithful even when we are not faithful. I'm so glad about it that while I was in my sins, before I found the Lord, he was being faithful to me. I'm going to give an illustration. I gave this illustration at another church. But I'm going to give it here because I think it resonated with them, so it may resonate with you as well. You all wouldn't even testify. People are lying on you, so you may not testify about this one at all. But I'll go ahead and throw it up anyway. You may not know this, but there's some people in this church building right now who have in the past used profanity. Because I know I'm in the Holy Ghost headquarters right now, so I may, I know you'd be shocked about some of this stuff. You know, there are some people in this church right now who in the past have used profanity. Now, I'm not even talking about what they're doing now. I'm just dealing with what they did in the past. Amen. Yeah. But some people, they did it, and folks start laughing. And it's, oh, man. So I said, bleepity bleep bleep, and they laughed. Okay, maybe let me say bleepity bleep bleep, and add a little to it. And then some people, they say, okay, I see people really appreciate me being irreverent. So let me do this. Let me take God's name and incorporate it in my filthy language. And they've been using this. The six and the seventh alphabet was some of the stuff they've been talking about. And they think it's cute. And the vocabulary becomes so limited that they have to use that to express great emotions. They use refractory language and then mix God's name in the midst of it. Let me ask you something. When you did it, did God strike you dead? What did he do? He gave you even more breath to breathe, and you kept on using profanity. Then he gave you some more breath to breathe, and you kept, am I right about it? I'm here to tell somebody that our God is faithful even when we are not faithful. He said that I will cause the sun to shine upon the just and the unjust. I will cause the rain to fall upon the just and the unjust. And I'm saying to myself today, if God would be that good to me in my sins, what would he do if I keep his commandments? Oh, my friends, I'm just feeling good right now because of the faithfulness of God. And I just feel like telling somebody, I'm so glad that I found the Lord Jesus in time. He preserved me until I found him. Anybody else feel that way today? He could have struck me out when I was out there fumbling down Fool's Hill, and he would have been justified in doing so. But God is faithful, and if he'd be that faithful to me in my sins, how faithful would he be to me if I keep my hand in his hand? Oh, my Christian friends, I'm here to encourage somebody who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. Now we have a problem. The Bible saying God is not going to allow us to be tempted. He's not going to allow us to deal with more footmen than we're able. But I'm going to tell you what the saints been telling me for years. Preacher, I'm not able to bear it. Tell your neighbor, somebody lying. Either we are lying on God or God is lying to us. Now, who you think lying? Oh, man, Paul said, let God be true and every man a liar. Oh, my Christian friend, God says that whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're going through, it doesn't matter the amount of pain you're dealing with. It don't matter the relational problems and challenges you're having, the financial challenges you're having. It doesn't matter what dealing with the stress you're going through, people treating you bad. God said, if you couldn't handle it, I wouldn't allow you to go through. I'm going to tell you some stuff I found out. But with the temptation will also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. In other words, in the midst of your trial, God has placed an escape hatch. I have found a hiding place. He has placed a force field there. Oh, my Christian friends, I'm just telling you that the experiences we have had and the victories we have won, God is using to encourage someone else. These are things I have found. Let me tell you some more stuff. I found out a few more things while contending with the footman. I found out that God will supply all of your needs. Will you agree with that? When your heart gets heavy and your stress gets high, I found out that God will be your song in the night. Jesus will be your peace speaker. When your check gets short and your month get long, I found out that Jesus will keep a roof over your head, clothes on your back, and food on your table. I found out when your friends forsake you and your loved ones leave you, I found out that Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than any brother. When your father and your mother forsake you, he will take you up. I found out that when the doctors have done all they could do and they turn around and walks away because his medicine can't do you no good, I found out that Jesus is a doctor in the sick room. Doctors treat, but Jesus heals. He has more medicine in the hem of his garment than the pharmacist has in the drugstore. I found out that when you mess up, when you slip and you fall, I found out that he will come along and raise you back up again. I found out a few things by contending with the footman. I found out that he will be your shade by day, your defense by night. He will be your rock in a weary land. He will be your water in the desert. He will be your food in a famine and your shelter in a storm. I found out that if I'm with God, I don't have to worry, and I don't have to fret. Am I right about it? My God has not failed you yet. My God will be right there. I found out that if he leads you to it, he will bring you through it. Oh, my Christian friends, I found out a few things. Let me tell you something else I found out while contending with the footman. I found out that trouble won't last always. I found out that trouble comes, but trouble goes. I found out that even the rough storms will pass over. I found out that weeping may endure for a night, but joy, God's joy, coming in the morning. Oh, my Christian friend, I'm here to tell you, you can outlast this storm. Come on, say amen in the house today. I found out a few things. And the footmen, these experiences that you have victoriously, victorious experience with the footmen, will help to encourage somebody else. Let me move to the second point. Not only does the footman prepare us to encourage someone else, but the footman also prepares us for the horses. The footman literally prepares us for the horse. The footmen are the trials we're dealing with now. The horses are the more serious trials. And the footman prepares us for the horses. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18, the Bible reads here in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18, the path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter to the full light of day. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Oh, my Christian friends, the Bible makes it so clear that as we walk with Jesus, the righteous, as they walk with him, that our path, it becomes brighter and brighter. The Bible lets us know that we are to grow in grace and in knowledge of Jesus Christ. The Bible letting us know, my Christian friends, that this Christian walk is a progressive walk. Are you listening to me? Growth takes place in the midst of this experience. And that's what's going on. We call it sanctification. Justification is a legal term that means you've been justified. And it takes place in an instant. Instant. That is when you've allowed Jesus to take away all your sins. And Jesus comes in and he allows his blood that's been running from Calvary for over 2,000 years to come down and it smears everything on your rap sheet. So when the judge reviews your record, all he can see is the blood. I know there was something there, but now all I can see is the blood. You've been justified. But what happens, my Christian friends, Jesus comes and he forgives us and he removes that guilty stain. But many of us, we would go back and get another guilty stain. Can't you say amen? So Jesus says, I need to do more than just justify them. I actually need to change them. So let me sanctify them. Because Jesus wants us to be like him. In sanctification, when he justifies us, what he does at the same time, simultaneously, he enrolls us into his school of sanctification. A class that we would not graduate from in this lifetime. We only graduate when he comes. And then that's borrowed should put on immortality, and it's corruptible should put on incorruption. Amen? But in the sanctification school, what happens is we grow, we develop, and it takes place through experience, through victorious experience with God. It's like climbing Jacob's ladder, where every round goes higher and higher. Now, there's some people in this church today, you wonder why I keep having the same exact experience. God works a little different than the school district. Sometimes school, they'll just pass your next grade because they're sick and tired of you. You thought the teacher was advocating for you when she was talking to the principal. She wasn't advocating. She was saying, if this child don't leave the class, I'm leaving the school. You know, either he go, I go. You know. You know, she wasn't advocating for you. She was advocating for herself. But God's school doesn't work that way. You don't move to the next class until you have been victorious with the previous class. Are you with me? So people wondering, you know, man, come on. I'm going to give you one illustration that is true to life. I've had this happen a couple of times throughout my ministry. I've had members come to me and say, Pastor, I don't know why I keep drawing the same no good for nothing men. And I don't get it. Why everyone that talks to me is unemployed? Everyone that talks to me is, you know, engaged in some kind of risque activity. Everyone that talks to me already have 4 or 5 other girlfriends on the side. Why is that? Why can't I find a man like Sister Summer or so? I've had this conversation. You'll be surprised. I mean, maybe you won't be surprised. You haven't graduated from the class yet. So God keeps allowing you to go through the same curriculum. He's going to keep allowing you to read the same textbook and have the same exam. Because until you pass your exit exam, you cannot move to the next class. Are you with me? But you keep doing the same old thing. Same old thing. Because after that conversation, why all these guys keep coming my way? Then 4 or 5 months later, I have this conversation from the same people. I don't know what happened to me. I don't know why I did that. I know why you haven't passed the class. You keep failing. You keep flunking out. Are you with me? So, well, let me try to illustrate another way. Some people have been in the church for years but have not gained an experience. A man, after 25 years with one company, was still doing the same old job and drawing the same salary. Finally, he went to his boss and he told him he felt he had been neglected. After all, he said, I've had a quarter of a century of experience. My dear fella, sighed the boss, you haven't had a quarter of a century of experience. You've had one experience for a quarter of a century. Oh, my Christian friend, this is progressive. And you have to keep growing. Keep getting stronger. Keep getting better. And that's what that lyric in the songs that we sing sometimes, we say, I'm not what I ought to be, but I'm not what I used to be. That means I've been growing. That means I'm better than I used to be. I'm stronger than I'm wiser than I used to be. And my walk has changed and my talk has changed. And I am doing a better job of reflecting the character of Jesus Christ than I used to. There was a young man. There's a young man named David. I'm trying to find some ways to illustrate this thing. David tended his father's sheep. And one day his father sent him to the front lines where his brethren were to take some things to them. So he went there, and something very interesting caught his attention. He saw all of King Saul's men hiding out. And King Saul, he couldn't find. King Saul was hiding out. What's going on? He had to try to find his brother. He got to his brethren. He said, what's going on here? Then he heard some old loud-mouthed giant on the other side of the line of the trenches screaming out all kind of profanity and insulting the people of God and insulting God himself. And he told his brother, what's going on here? What's happening? You all afraid to fight the giant? See, what happened? The giant said to King Saul, he said, we will use your champion fight our champion. And instead of all these people dying, what would happen is if our champion beat your champion, you serve us. But if your champion beat our champion, we'll serve you. So he was over there boasting and swearing and everything. I mean, he just opened up an improvisational. An open mic, and he was just insulting the people of God, and also insulting God. And David just couldn't understand why King Saul is hiding under his desk, why he's down there shaking and trembling, why he's wringing his hands and pulling his hair. What's going on here? So David said, "I tell you what, I'll fight him. You all don't want to fight him. I'll fight him. Let me fight him." You know, David's brother going to try to cast aspersion upon him. He said, "Oh, you just want to show out. You just want to be seen. You remember this, don't you?" And David said, "No, I didn't come here to show. I came here because our father sent me here to you. And I'm not trying to be the showstopper. I'm not trying to be in the spotlight. I just didn't like what he said about our God." So King Saul said, okay, David, let me hear what you have to say, then maybe we can do this. But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of his flock," I'm in 1 Samuel 17, verse 34, by the way. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of his flock, "I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from his mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." In verse 37 now. "Moreover," David said, "the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." What David was saying to Saul was this: "I've been there and I've done that. I have a history of fighting against the odds. I'm experienced in being the underdog. I have been in the trenches. I have been on the battlefield. And by appearances, I should have lost, but God." What David was saying, David was letting them know that I can handle this giant because I've already had an experience with God. God has been helping me to grow and develop, and I'm prepared for him now. I've dealt with the footman size trial. Now I'm ready for the horseman size trial. So King Saul gonna try to put his armor on David. David said, "I can't deal with all this stuff. Let me use what I have used in times past, what I have experienced with God with using." So David grabbed his sling and he went walking on the battlefield to face the giant. Now the giant, that's very important. We get this, my Christian friend. Many people, when they think about this giant, they think that he's just an old, clumsy, overgrown oaf. He's just big, but he don't have much sense. And they think he's the most clumsy person that have both their shoelaces tied together on both shoes, and he just trips over his own feet. No, that's not how this giant was a tactical genius. He was a great general in Philistine's army. This giant had multiple terminal degrees. I mean, this giant has graduated from all the great military schools. This giant he knew everything about warfare. He was well learned and well studied. Now you know I'm using contemporary illustrations, you know, but I'm just trying to get you. I'm to make sure you understand who we're dealing with. We're talking about a general. We're not talking about some old clumsy big guy just because he's big up in about there. You know, you understand what I'm saying? In fact, this giant had a PhD in body breaking. He was a 15 degree black belt, and I don't know how many degrees of black belts they are because I don't know anything about no martial arts. I'm a preacher. You understand what I'm saying? I'm hand-to-hand combat or nothing. Amen. That don't mean that you have lights going running up here. I just mean that I'm not formally in hand-to-hand combat. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. So the giant, he looks at David, and he can see from that David is not even qualified to be in the ring with him. So the giant now, he's more angry now than he was before. So he sees David, and he start using profanity against David. And I mean, it's obvious the giant used a lot of profanity. He started using profanity. The Bible says he was swearing, whatever, against David. And he would tell me, how I'm going to cut you up in little pieces and feed you to the birds. I'm going to stomp the residue. I'm just going to destroy you. I'm going to make a spectacle out of you. David didn't pay him no attention. David just reached down and grabbed 5 smooth stones and kept walking. And because, you know, David already dealt with the roar of the lions, so he wasn't paying this guy no attention. And he was telling me, I'm going to do this to you. I'm going to do that to you. I'm going to show you. I'm going to cut you up in little pieces and mail you back to your parents. I'm going to just embarrass you. I'm going to do all this. And then the giant realized his talking wasn't getting nowhere. So then he's going to try to use some of his moves to get him. You know, giant, he was a martial arts expert. So he's going to use all these different martial arts stance and all these stretches. He's gonna use the killer bee stance. Now I don't know if there's a killer bee stance or not, but it sounds like it makes sense. I mean, if you're gonna be a martial arts expert, you should know how to kill people. I'm assuming that. And David didn't pay that no attention. He took the stone, put it in his sling, and he started. And then the giant grabbed his sword, and he starts swinging his sword up and throwing him and doing all kind of acrobats with his sword to try to intimidate him and scare him. David didn't pay him no attention. Then all of a sudden, David let that stone go from his sling. And then the Holy Spirit grabbed the stone and turned it into a Holy Ghost-guided missile. It launched into the cranium of that giant. And the giant fell that day. And David was able to stand over that giant with his sword in hand, declare that giants, they do die. Oh, my Christian friends, I'm here to tell somebody, David's victory over the lion and the bear-sized trial prepared him for the giant-sized trial. The footmen will prepare you for the horses. Oh, my Christian friend, all we have to do is believe. Believe and trust him. The same God that gave victories to the prophets, to the patriarchs, and to the apostles is the same God that will lead us from victory to victory if we will but trust and believe. I have a mind today to believe. I have a mind to believe him this morning. I believe him just what he said. I believe that Jesus came from God the Father in heaven on high. I believe that he was born of a virgin. I believe he was born in Bethlehem. I believe he immigrated to Egypt and was raised in Nazareth. I believe that he was the only one of his kind, fully God and fully man. I believe that he was baptized by John in the Jordan. I believe that he was tempted by the devil in the wilderness. I believe that he was holy and undefiled. I believe he preached the gospel and set an example. I believe, my Christian friends, that even through his great trials, when he was captured, bound, carried from judgment hall to judgment hall, I believe that he kept God's commandments. He was faithful to God. I believe he died on the cross, but also I believe that on the third day he rose again. He rose with the keys of death and hell in his hand, and the same power that raised Jesus from the grave is the same power that would give us the victory. Oh, my Christian friends, don't you let the footmen weary you. Don't you let them go with Jesus and be triumphant. Let me get to my last point. My last point here is simple. Not only do the footmen prepare us to encourage others, not only does the footmen prepare us for the horses, but also the footman prepares us for heaven. Prepares us for heaven. The Bible says in Job 23 and verse 10. Job 23 and verse 10, the Bible says, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Oh, my Christian friends, I'm so thankful that God knows what he's doing. I'm so thankful he knows what he's doing. Turn to your neighbor and tell them God is up to something. You may not know everything about it, but you know that he's up to something, and you know it's for his glory, and you know it's for his good. He knoweth the way that I take. And when he had tried me, when he's allowed enough footmen to come my way, I shall come forth as gold. Oh, my Christian friends. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 7, again in verse 9, after these things I looked and behold a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, people, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders answered and said to me, who are these arrayed in white robes? And where did they come from? And I said to him, sir, you know. So he said to me, these are they who come out of great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eye. Oh, my friends. As John was describing this great grand occasion around God's throne, how those who have been victorious over the Lamb, over the beast and over the false prophet, he'd been victorious through the blood of the Lamb. And they're standing around God's throne rejoicing and singing praises to God's holy name. And then he asked them, who are these people arrayed in the white robes and where they come from? And the man said to the elder, you know. So he said, these are they who have come out of great tribulation. And they washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, my Christian friends, the Bible said these who made it to heaven, who march around God's throne in white robes, are the ones who came through trials. These are the ones who had to come the rough side of the mountain. These are the ones who had to cry sometimes. These are the ones who've been lied on, talked about, misused, and mistreated. These are the ones who've been misunderstood. And these are the ones who've had it rough. They didn't have it easy. They had to sometimes stay up all night long with their hands on the horns of the altar, crying to God to give them the victory. These are the ones who had to struggle sometimes. It has been hard for them, but they made it. The ones who made it are the ones who came through tribulation. The ones who made it are the ones who came through rough, hard times. The ones who made it are the ones who had to contend with the footmen. Oh, my Christian friend, I'm here to tell somebody, trying to help somebody out, my Christian friends, that the Lord is allowing the footmen, the trials we're going through, to prepare us for heaven. Oh, my friends, he's getting us ready for his kingdom. There was a song that Derek Coley used to sing, the late Derek Coley. He said that God is preparing me. He's making me. He's molding me. He's purging me. He's pruning me. He's preparing me. And he's preparing me for something that I'm not prepared for right now. If I had to go there right now, I couldn't make it. But he's preparing me for it. He's getting me ready. Fitting me for the kingdom. Oh, my Christian friends, you're going through something right now. You don't know how you're going to make it through this thing. You're worrying about it today. You don't know how you're going to make it. But I'm here to tell you, God is allowing it because he's fitting you for the kingdom. He's preparing you for the next chapter in your life. He is purging you. He's pruning you. He's getting you ready that when you come forth, you will be as gold. I know it's been hard. I know it has not been easy. I know you had to cry sometime. But I'm here to tell you that your tears, they're just temporary, because it won't be long now when you'll be able to sing your victorious song around God's throne. So I'm here to tell Berean today, I'm being prepared. I'm being prepared. I'm being prepared for that great day when we see in the eastern sky cloud the size of a man's hand. And as we get closer, we realize it's the sign of the coming of the Lord. I'm being prepared today. I'm being prepared for the special resurrection of all who died under the three angels' messages. And I'm being prepared for the great and general resurrection of all those who died in Jesus. I'm being prepared. I'm being prepared for translation for those of us who are alive and remain. I'm being prepared. I'm being prepared to step on clouds to meet Jesus in the air. I'm being prepared. I'm being prepared to walk through the gates into the city. I'm being prepared to walk on streets of gold. I'm being prepared to stand on the banks of the river of life and to eat fruit from the tree of life, where leaves are for the healing of the nations. I'm being prepared this morning. I'm being prepared to eat at the welcome table. Anybody else being prepared for that? I'm being prepared to wear my long white robe. I'm being prepared to put on my crown of life. I'm being prepared to walk and not get weary, to run and not faint. I'm being prepared to sing and never get tired. I'm being prepared today, and I'm being prepared to be with Jesus, to reign with him forever and ever and ever and ever. Your trials are temporary, but I'm going to reign with him forever. Your problems are temporary, but I'm going to be with him forever and ever and ever and ever. Rails without end. Anybody else being prepared today? Anybody's being prepared today? Now, my friends, simple appeal. I know you've been despising the footmen. All these trials, these things been coming along. They've hurt your feelings. They made you feel bad. You don't know why people would do you that way. You don't know why things happen like this. But I'm here to tell you, don't despise the footmen. God has allowed this. I skipped over one thing today, and I'm just going to make mention of it. I won't go into detail. I read something in Ministry of Healings where Ellen White said that God often allows those in whom we place confidence in to fail us, that we may learn the folly of making flesh our own. We need to wholly, totally trust God. Oh, my Christian friends. God allowed these things to happen to you. He could have stopped it. He could have stopped that flood. I came up here the other year. They had a flood that came through Baton Rouge, destroyed neighborhoods. God could have stopped that. But he allowed it because he prepared. Had he stopped it, you wouldn't be prepared. Because something worse than our flood is coming. Am I talking to somebody? Have I made it to your pew yet? So the appeal is very simple. The appeal is very simple. That you want me to pray for you today that you get the victory over despising the footmen. And you're going to see the footmen for what they really are now. God allowing footmen to prepare you and fit you for the kingdom. If that's you want me to pray for you to that end, just raise your hand where you are. Dear Father, you see the hands, and you're also able to read the hearts. Dear Lord, we have been, sometimes we are easily chafed, and we are wounded, and we hurt. And oftentimes that happens when we have gone through a confluence of challenges. One thing after the next, the loss of loved ones. And sometimes the loss of loved ones comes in multiple. The old folks say they come in threes. And it hurts. People been mean to us for no reason. Things just happen one after the next. Even Sabbath morning become one of the most difficult days to get out the house. It just gets bad sometimes. But, oh Lord, we know you have allowed this because you know the storm that's coming. And you know that if we face it unprepared, we won't be able to make it. So we pray right now that you would change our attitude, readjust our attitude, that we may understand that the trials that we're going through, they're only coming just to make us strong, to give us an experience that we may encourage somebody else, to give us an experience to prepare us for the greater trial, and also to purge and prune away those rough edges to fit us for the kingdom. Oh, Lord, we pray that we may rejoice in whatever condition we find ourselves in, realizing that you're working for the good and for your glory. Oh, Lord, help us and bless us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you think God heard your prayer, you think he heard your prayer? I think he heard your prayer also. This is our last appeal now. And I know the day is far spent because I heard Elder Landry, he was talking about there was food over there. And I've had some of his cooking before too. So if he got involved, I know it could be good. But there's a food over there. And I know somebody in here right now saying, I want this, the food will still be warm. Don't worry. You paid the gas bill, didn't you? Yeah, okay, yeah. So they know how to warm it back up. Amen. So it's going to be fine. But there's this little bit of Holy Ghost business we need to deal with right now. Somebody in this place today need to go the extra mile and get things right with the Lord. So I'm talking to at least three different people today. One person I'm speaking with is someone who's lost and they want to be saved. Somebody going to say, why are you going to be so blunt? Because we're in the last days. You're lost and you want to be saved. The second person is a backslider. You know better. You've been taught better. But you went sliding backwards down Fool's Hill. And now you want to clam your way back out of there. I'm here to tell you, you don't have to clam your way. You don't have to claw your way out. Jesus will reach down and pull you out. If he had to reach way down, Jesus would lift you up. Backslider, come back home today. And the third person is a person who's already a Christian. They're already saved. But through the ministry of this congregation, they have found out that God wants them to keep all of his commandments. And they'd like to be a part of this church. They're already Christian. They're already saved. They already accept Christ as their personal Savior. But because this is a progressive journey, now they want to come up a little bit higher and be a part of the church that keeps the commandments of God. So I'm calling for those three individuals now. The person who lost and want to be saved, the backslider who want to come back home, or the person who's saved already and now they want to become part of this church. Just get it where you are. If you want those three individuals, God is calling for you right now. And I know, and I want to tell you something, it would be a great thing to go into the new year with this decision. This would be a great thing. And it's time to respond right now. The person who lost and wants to be saved, respond right now. Just stand where you are. The person who's a backslider won't come back home, stand where you are right now. Do it right now. The person who's already a Christian, you're already saved, but now you want to be part of this ministry, just stand right now. This is your turn. It's your time. This is your turn. And I don't know the custom of the Berean church. I don't know the custom of how you do appeals here. But I know that Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. So I'm here today to tell you I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God. Oh, God, to God. To bring about salvation for the Jew first and also for the Greeks. Are you ready? Jesus ready? It's your turn. You understand that actually the sermon actually ended about 10 minutes ago. It's been over for a while. I've been doing an appeal. The appeal is no longer my turn. It's your turn now. It's your time. My time is up. It's time to respond now. Wouldn't it be a great thing to leave this place knowing that you are ready to go home and be with the Lord? That's a great feeling. You ready? Jesus is ready for you.
Last call now. Last call. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be the last call in your life. I don't know what the future of your life is. It's going to be the last call today. That's what I'm saying. Last call now. Last call now. Sinner want to be saved? Salvation is available. It's real. Backslider want to come home? The doors of the church are open for you. The Father's arms are wide, stretched wide for you. The person who's already saved, and now you want to keep God's commandments because Jesus told you to do it. Come on. You can do it right now. It's your turn. It's your turn. And I'm gonna tell you something. I accepted the Lord a long time ago. Been baptized a long time ago. And I've climbed over hills and I'm going through some valleys in my life. But I wouldn't take nothing for my journey. God's been good to me. And I want to encourage you to try him. It hasn't always been easy, but he's always been there. Is there anybody in this church, let's say over 70, anybody here 70 or above that want to admit it? I know some people, they've been 30 for the last 30 years. Okay, that's a few witnesses. That's a few witnesses. I'll see about 3 witnesses, 4 witnesses, 5, 6, 7 witnesses. Praise the Lord. You know, God only promised 70. But by reason of strength, 80. And God can give you many more than that. If he see fit, he'll do it. But let me ask you, I'm going to ask these moms and these pops. Would you agree with David when David said, I have been young, but now I'm old. But I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Do you agree with that? You've heard from these moms and pops who've been running with the Lord for a long time. And they tell you that God's been good to them. It hasn't always been easy. They've been persecuted. Had to deal with racism and all kind of inequalities. But God's been good. And just through the strength of their testimony, why don't you try them today? Sinner want to be saved. Respond now. Backslider want to come home. Do it right now. You're a part of this ministry. Do it right now. Jesus calling. Last call now. Just stand where you are. And we're going to encourage you. We're going to help you. We're going to pray for you. Dear Holy Father, we thank you that you gave us an opportunity to sound a loud cry, to call people out of the confusion of Israel and out of Babylon into amongst your people. We're so thankful, dear Lord, that you've allowed us to sound the gospel and to cry for sinners to come home. Oh, Lord, we pray that nobody will leave this place the way they came, but they'll leave better, more powerful than ever been before. And those who need to respond and prepare for baptism and study, we pray that you will give them the boldness to even walk up to one of the elders or somebody after service and tell them, I'm ready to do it. Oh, Lord, help them. Give them the strength. We pray right now, dear Father, that you rebuke every defiling spirit, anything that would interfere with them making this decision. We thank you, we praise you, and we love you. Now, dear Father, as we have seen you give us victory over the footmen of 2018, now as we're about to cross over in 2019 to even deal with even more difficult trials, we ask that you would give us strength for, give us grace for every challenge. Oh, Lord, bless us, we pray for Christ's sake. Amen and amen.